You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, the Astros playing in Minneapolis yesterday, and that game was delayed. Heavy, heavy rain after three innings as the Astros led 5-1. It was, quote, destructive winds going 80 miles an hour. It's the Midwest for you, baby.
Yeah, another reason not to visit.
A lot of great people. Couple of tornadoes.
Yep.
You got hurricanes here.
Sorry, I don't want to go join Helen Hunt's dad up in the sky because the tornado decided to come down and take out my farm at the same time.
You'd be
farm.
Proud of me. I've actually seen that movie.
It's a good movie.
I have. It's a good movie.
It's a great movie. And they try to like track tornadoes, which is physically impossible with these weird little sensors. They have to drive the truck into it. And I don't know why Helen Hunt thinks that this is going to like help her
bring her dad back.
It's seriously like that's what I remember the plot being. She was like, "I'm gonna go up into the tornado and find my dad." That's probably a gross simplification of the plot, but
right. Yes. Good movie. Philip Seymour Hoffman, great as always.
He was in that movie.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Isn't he in Twister?
Honestly, it's called Twister. Yeah, it was called Twister. Yes,
he's third build.
Yeah, third build.
Was he like the bad guy? Was he like trying to make the hurricane?
No, he was like
the hurricane.
Or he played the hurricane. The tornado. That would be hilarious.
He actually was the tornado.
He was like talking.
He played someone named Dustin Davis.
Yeah, he's funny in it.
Okay,
not quite as funny as Along Came Polly, but he's funny. All right, so 12:10 p.m. today, the game picks up where it stopped. You got that doubleheader starting half an hour after Maldonado batting at the top of the fourth. This could be good. Astros could get another win, extend that winning streak to 10 if they can win both today. It seems certainly like they'll win the first for sure. But this is a nice streak for the Astros, Paul. I mean, from somebody that was, you were just a little concerned at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
And we're still kind of in the beginning stages, of course, of the season, but not bad.
I still want more from the bats. And I will definitely take 5 runs in the first couple of innings against Minnesota last night and hope that that is a sign of more runs to come. But the pitching, I mean, they had a 24-inning scoreless streak. That's awesome. And what you've seen from them over that stretch, it's only a month into the year, but you got to feel pretty good about the long-term chances of this just entire pitching staff, given that they're doing this with a, I would imagine, not quite 100% Ryan Pressly, who's dealing with the knee inflammation, but he's back out there. And, of course, not having Lance McCullers out there, you know? And your hope is really that by the end of this year, that the guys that you think have upside, Framber Valdez, Urquidy, Luis Garcia, you're hoping that they will continue to progress. I feel like right now we've seen a lot of impressiveness from Luis Garcia to this point. And, you know, you're hoping that these young guys can continue to just develop without Brent Strom here. And yeah, to this point, it's been nice, you know?
Destructive winds, 80 miles an hour. I was looking at the screenshots of some of the media members that were there. A little bit scary, which led us to our discussion about natural disasters.
Which one scares you the most?
Yeah, like which one really riles you up?
So this is something that only came to me when I was living in Seattle. So, if you've lived on the West Coast, you've probably experienced an earthquake at some point. They come at random times. But there is this article that is posted annually in the Seattle Times.
Okay.
And it says, a deadly earthquake absolutely positively will ravage Seattle at some point.
That is dark.
There's an article in the New Yorker asserting that an earthquake in the Pacific Northwest, the inevitable big one, will spell the worst natural disaster in the history of the North American continent.
Sounds a little bit like the world's going to end on this date.
Well, at least in that area, possibly, because if you take a look, like there's like a volcano, Mount Rainier, that's right nearby. And there's all sorts of like just little mountains that some of them are volcanoes. There's like a big fault right there. I think it's the Cascadian Fault and stuff. Anyway, earthquakes by far scare me the most. If you've seen pictures from the earthquake that took place in San Francisco during the World Series between the – was it the Giants and A's were playing each other in the World Series and it just got hit by an earthquake all of a sudden? That would be absolutely terrifying. You can't do anything about it. It just – all of a sudden the earth starts shaking. You're hoping that all the man-made structures don't just get destroyed. So for me, it's that. It should be hurricanes because, you know, I've lived in Houston. We dealt with Hurricane Harvey.
You were here for Harvey,
I was
right?
here for Harvey, okay. Yeah. The amount of rain that came down was more scary than, like, the winds and just because of the way Houston's set up. But having lived in Florida where, I mean, people have hurricane parties and having lived here in Houston too, I'm kind of desensitized to hurricanes. Earthquakes scare the hell out of me. Earthquakes are the worst.
From our listeners, somebody said quicksand. Somebody else said tsunami, and somebody said the Texans are natural disasters.
Well, quicksand isn't a natural disaster. That's like you're walking in the desert and you're just asking for trouble.
Mm.
Yeah.
Tsunami is the right answer.
Tsunamis are
terrifying.
Right.
Yeah.
I've never been unlucky enough to be part of one, but the videos from, what was that big one that hit
the
Philippines or Indonesia?
Oh, God, yeah.
It was awful.
There's videos of like the beach where it's just a normal day and then one wave is 100 feet tall.
There's a movie starring, and I guess the actual wave for that one was like 20 feet tall, but there's like a movie, I think it's Naomi Watts, Ewan McGregor, about like someone who's basically clinging onto a tree as this thing hits. And it's absolutely terrifying. I used to have nightmares about tsunamis all the time. This was when I was living in Florida. Like, all of a sudden, there would be just this massive, like, 150-foot wave, and I would see it coming, and I would, like, know that the end is near.
You said that was a dream?
Oh, I used to have this dream a lot. It was, like, a bad nightmare. I don't know why I had it all the time, but, yeah, so tsunamis, too. Tsunamis and earthquakes. Like, you can't do anything about it. It's just like, all right, Well, crap.
I'm showing
it after you saw the movie The Impossible in 2012?
That was it.
Mm,
that was the movie.
Good point. I'm showing my roots here, but it's definitely tornado, because that's the only thing we worried about growing up.
Well, yeah, because they come out of nowhere, right?
Yeah, they really do.
Like, and the basement?
Like, we have, like, our family farm, there's a tornado shelter or whatever. And then in my house, we have a crawl space. But a lot of people have mini tornado shelters. And I never worried. I mean, I'm from Indiana. Never worried about a hurricane. Never worried about a tsunami. I think one time there was a slight earthquake and there was a really bad flood in my hometown back in 2008, I think. But the only places that were affected were the lower ground areas and we weren't on low ground. So it's genuinely just tornadoes that scare me.
Okay, we're talking about natural disasters because the Astros game was suspended last night because of a bleeping tornado warning and sirens. And I would imagine being at the ballpark, that would be a little bit terrifying. Does a nuclear possible strike count? And I don't mean the actual nuke hitting. Obviously, that would be a disaster.
Kind of natural.
But if you hear the sirens, like, remember a couple of years ago in Hawaii, there was a warning that there was, like, a nuclear launch, and everyone was, like, losing their minds because they thought it was going to actually hit Hawaii. I mean, just the possibility of that. I can only imagine for everyone who was growing up in the 70s and 80s and being taught, like, well, yep, get under your desk because that'll
I guess
something.
It wouldn't be natural, but per the comment about quicksand, like a disaster that like seems unnatural.
Is that the Replacements reference in the movie? Like, quicksand, man, it'll get you. Like, with Footsteps
Falco. I've never actually seen quicksand. Good,
I've only seen it in Scooby-Doo. And
same.
Things like that.
And cartoons
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah, Wile E. Coyote always got stuck in quicksand.
What an idiot.
Which natural disaster scares you the most and scares you the least? For me, it is a hurricane. For me, it is an earthquake. The most is a tornado, but for me, an earthquake has never been on my radar. I've never been like, oh no, an earthquake's going to happen. And if it does, I feel like it'll just shake me a little bit and give me a little vibration, may even feel good, and then it'll be over.
What?
Like a massage chair.
Yeah.
What you're talking about.
Yeah. Just kind of like an unexpected. Like sometimes when I'm driving and I hit the strip, it kind of feels good. You know, on the side of the road. It's that little vibration, and you're like, I didn't expect that, but damn.
Yeah.
All right.
An earthquake. Ugh. You know.
Come on. Stop. This is a family. This is a family.
No. I mean, you just get an unexpected, like, jolt. So earthquakes don't scare me. Tornadoes do.
I never thought that kind of thought would go through your head. Okay. Look, to each their own. Some people aroused by earthquakes.
I didn't say aroused. I just said kind of unexpected. Feel a little good.
Put at ease.
What'd you say?
You were put at ease.
Yeah, put at ease. It just relaxed me just for a little bit. The rumble like strips on the side of the road.
I'm out.
It's a nice little wave of...
Yeah.
Also, that noise is something else. What is that noise? Can we isolate that as a drop?
Yes.
Like, I don't know if it's motorboating or what.
Yeah.
It's like a weird fart.
7107 said the natural disaster that scares him is whirlpool. Is that a natural thing?
I think so. If you're on the water. Yeah, if you're on the water or something
like
that.
Okay, okay. There can be a whirlpool.
I remember playing a video game where in Oregon Trail, you know, if you ford the river, a whirlpool might come out of nowhere and might sink your wagon and kill some oxen. Perhaps you, too.
Could be.
So why you always were the banker from Boston, because you had the most money to get through the Oregon Trail. Yeah.
Anyone play that game? Video game worked where you could choose to be a like the elite and you could have an easier...
What was it you could die from? Was it diarrhea?
Dysentery, yes.
That's dysentery.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Lost a lot of good men to poo-poo disease.
Playing for the Yankees? Trades.
Lost a lot of good men to authentic Mexican food.
Lost a lot of good men out
there. Authentic Mexican water.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, less about rumble strips and more about the NFL schedule release. What I'm looking forward to the most, non-Texans related on the schedule, plus moments where one player costs you a game. That's next.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
It's a good day, guys. It's an exciting day. It is NFL schedule release day, and much like the combine, the draft, the international games, Paul loves NFL schedule release day.
Sure. We're seeing it slowly spoiled for us over the course of the day. This is the other thing about it. I guess I'm kind of like this, Vanessa, because I got annoyed by the idea that you had to wait an entire hour for the entirety of the NCAA tournament bracket to be released. I was just like, just give it to me all at once.
Right.
At least with that, there was uncertainty over who would make it and who wouldn't make it. With this, you know every game that's going to take place.
You know where
the games are going to take place outside of the ones that were announced for the international ones that we found out about last week. Disgusting. Just stealing American jobs.
See, for the guy that won out of every 9 games as a part-time ticket taker. But I see your point. Here's what I'm looking forward to the most, non-Texan storylines with this NFL schedule release tonight. I am excited to see when the Bills and Chiefs play. Obviously, it's one of the games, greatest games ever played, probably will be ever, forever known as the coin toss game. Not one interception thrown, Patrick Mahomes versus Josh Allen. So I'm excited to see when that rematch is. You know it's going to be in primetime. You don't necessarily know what week or what network. But you had an interesting point earlier in the show that this should actually be the week one game.
Yeah, I get it. The Rams won the Super Bowl, and that's tradition, is that the Thursday night season opener goes to the team who won it against some poor team that's going to get its ass kicked. But you got to have the sequel to Chiefs Bills ASAP. That has to be played by week two. You can't put that back in the season, because who knows what'll happen. Like, for all we know, Kansas City might not be as good this year, or maybe Buffalo is disappointing with the way that it went. It would be akin to waiting 3, 4, or forever years for the latest book in the George R. R. Martin series, The Song of Ice and Fire. You know, the books that led to Game of Thrones. Like, we're still waiting for it. I think you got to pay this off. Because if you wait too long, it's going to lose some of the luster.
Bills versus Chiefs is exciting to me. I'm a broadcasting sports media nerd, so I'm excited to see how many Bucks games are specifically on Fox. And in primetime, that number one team of Kevin Burkhardt, Aaron Andrews, and who we assume will be Greg Olsen, tossing it down to Tom Brady, all the ISO shots, and just the elephant in the room. You brought up that Greg Olsen has a great sense of humor. True.
Yeah, I think.
But still, just the idea of, hey, that's Tom Brady. He's the quarterback, and he will replace me literally whenever the hell he wants. I think that'll be fun. And then who the NFL, the other thing I'm excited to see, who the NFL gives the most primetime games too. We know the Cowboys always get primetime games. Packers, we expect Brady to get primetime games, but you got a young, exciting quarterback in Joe Burrow who took his team to the Super Bowl. Will the Bengals get more love on primetime?
Will the Texans get any?
Any. I am going to assume that is a no.
They'll get a Thursday night game, because every team gets a Thursday night game.
It seems like the Titans always get a primetime game.
That is true too.
And actually, that may be one of the leaks that we know about.
What?
Was there a Titans league? I don't know.
Yes, there's a. I think it's a Titans, either Bills or a Titans Chiefs.
And you know
game.
What? It was announced. Buck and Troy Aikman announced it. That's going to be on ABC.
It's against
or ESPN.
One of those two good teams.
So the Titans always get one.
Most playoff teams will get at least one Sunday night or Monday night game. Monday night's tricky because I don't know that every team is required to have a Monday night game. Every team is required to have a Thursday night game. So the Texans will definitely get one of those. But will they get anything else? I don't know. I don't think ESPN would want to have a Monday night football game featuring the Texans. And I know for sure they will not get a Sunday night football game this year. No chance.
Sean Mapes, our producer, brought this to our attention, and I'm glad he did. Sean, do you care to explain what this fake Twitter account is and what the deal is? Because a lot of people have been retweeting this, and they think it's fact.
Yes, so there is a at NFL Game Leaks Twitter account where they've basically been tweeting out fake schedule release leaks, but none of them are true. And so they tweeted out this morning, about 30 minutes ago, guess who just got 10,000 followers by literally making up a bunch of NFL games?
Hell yeah.
Because I was bored faking out almost the entire Twitter landscape.
Good.
This guy right here.
I like that guy. That guy's
a
legend.
That too.
And so he took a screenshot with him at 10,000 followers. He's now at 8,200.
Oh, they all bit
2,000 people.
They're like, nah,
we're like,
out.
Oh, oops.
But you know what?
You deserve to get
good
gone.
For him.
Yeah.
Good for him, because there are people that, and look, it's probably because of a Big J journalism background. Look at who you trust. Use some critical thinking skills, which we've kind of lost in America.
No, don't think at all.
And look at who you believe that this guy that just made a Twitter account knows the schedule leaks.
I do.
No verification. Doesn't work for any media outlet, and people believed him?
Such a Big J journalist move. Anyone can report
minds.
The news. A citizen can. What if a citizen stumbled across the information necessary to inform the people about what the schedule is, so that people like myself, who don't want to wait for a stupid announcement show, can just figure it out now? This man was serving the population. He's trying to keep the NFL down, a giant corporation that's overtaken the minds and hearts of most sports fans. There's no concern over that in your mind at all? No, because Vanessa, Big J journalist, she falls in line with the corporations, man.
Somebody did send out a funny tweet. Better idea. NFL should release no schedule at all. You know what time your team plays and what network. You tune in and surprise, you got Colt McCoy and the Cardinals in the 405 window.
That actually would be pretty cool.
Like, it's really funny.
You just, the teams just, you don't know what team you're playing. You just show up at the stadium and you just have to figure it out on the fly.
It's actually very fun.
I mean, obviously this would never happen,
ever.
But it would, because it would involve all neutral site games, but it would be pretty cool. Like, you put bags over all the players' heads and you fly them out to whatever city
they're
in. And
they can't have the players can't have their phones, so they can't leak where they are.
No, I mean, it's
like the Hunger Games.
Yeah, it's pretty messed up. But hey, in a dystopian future, like in 2139, when Jeffrey Bezos' army of militant Alexis takes over,
after
the United States
destroyed by the earthquake.
Yeah, it'll happen.
Yeah.
That's when it'll happen.
Think about how great it would be to be like at the stadium cheering on your home team, and then they're like, and now the visiting team, and you have no idea who's about to run out of the tunnel.
Yeah, because like there would be some teams, like say the Texans are visiting you. You're like, yes, good. Mm-hmm. This should be a win. And then another team like comes in, oh God, it's Patrick Mahomes, it's the Chiefs, or it's the Buffalo Bills.
Or it's a rival or something. And you're like, oh my God, we got to go to the rivalry game.
Right.
We just came up with a great idea.
We did. Well, this person on Twitter did, but yeah, we really
expanded it out. We built it out.
Yeah.
We did. Okay, so those are the three things I'm looking forward to, non-Texans related. Bills versus Chiefs, the Bucks games on Fox, and who gets the most primetime games. What about you guys? Non-Texans related storylines. We like to talk about the NFL on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Non-Texans related schedule release storylines that you guys are looking forward to.
I just want the NFC East to not have many primetime games. That's all I'm asking. I get it. They have the big markets. You have the Cowboys fans who are everywhere. You have Giants fans. You have Eagles fans. And you do still have Commanders fans who all hate themselves. We do not want more NFC East games in primetime. And we also do not want more Bears games in prime time. We are always subjected to far too many of the latter.
I actually agree with that.
Hey, look, it's a Bears-Packers game. How badly will Aaron Rodgers strangle them this time? You can tune in to find out.
Especially because the Bears this year are going to be like one of the worst teams in the league.
What about you, Sean?
I think what I'm most kind of excited for is just kind of the seeing from weeks 12 to 17 of the AFC West of because if they do this right, they can really stack a lot of the division on division matchups late in the year. I know they normally try to end the season like in week 18,
like the last 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, but I think you could just do it where it's a round robin where you finish the because you play you play your division six times.
Yes.
So yeah, you can. Your last three games can all be the last game of the matchup.
They generally
Commissioner Mapes.
Yeah, there we go.
They generally stagger it, but I like that idea for that division in particular.
Yeah, just have all the four teams play the other the last 3 weeks.
I think the problem is that the NFL is probably going to look at it and say, hey, look at all these quarterbacks we have in this division. We can space out these primetime matchups, and you would probably want to have them early on.
Yeah.
One of those teams is not going to is going to blow it.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, I feel like the Broncos are keyed to have the week two Sunday night game.
Where
they're running out. It's like, look at Russell Wilson. New uniform. Look at that.
They'll be strategic about it. I think the Texans.
He's like, let's ride.
The Texans storyline is definitely the Mr. Unlimited. But I do want to see when the Texans play the Cleveland Browns, because if the NFL knows what they're doing, they'll make it late in the season when we assume Deshaun Watson will be back from any sort of suspension. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're talking a little bit more about the NFL schedule, a little game of over-under of primetime games. Plus, we get into when a team has broken your heart and one player cost your squad the game. That's next.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
I'm just really glad we have Gwen Stefani in studio with us. Sing it again.
I'm just a girl, and it's the world. There's the world that I'm in, and I'm a girl.
You sound just like her.
Yeah.
We're talking about the NFL schedule release, which will happen tonight. We should get that full slate of games. Mm-hmm. I think it's at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, you're looking forward to it so much.
I'm really excited.
The most exciting day of the year, which could in no way be hyperbole.
Actually, complete sarcasm.
The Super Bowl, the NBA Finals, whatever. The NFL schedule release on May 12th of every year. I'm waiting. I get myself some popcorn, a nice glass of rosé or some Prosecco, and I sit back and I watch it. That is the Vanessa Richardson ideal night.
I like planning trips.
Okay.
With my girls.
Okay.
Get brunch.
Brunch. We're going to LA. Are the Texans in LA this year? Are they going to be in LA? Or are they going to? They are going to Nashville, Vanessa. Are we going to plan a girls' weekend around that?
But we have talked a lot about the divisions.
Go see Magic Mike in Las Vegas.
Hey, wait. You're making fun of me for doing that, but I actually did do
What's
that.
What's the strip club?
And I got pulled on stage and grinded on by during the Magic Mike show.
Wow, you too.
Yeah.
Excuse him.
It was.
You're like, it was like the vibrations of an earthquake.
Hate it. Did not hate it. But NFL divisions. When you look at the NFL divisions, Paul, which team is the team that you got to go through to win that division this year? Because I think there's some unpredictability for sure.
A good question. It's something that came up because of ex-Texan DJ Reader, who, of course, is now with the Cincinnati Bengals. He was asked about the Cleveland Browns being the favorites to win the AFC North. Here was his answer.
Did the Browns specifically be surprised that they're the betting favorites to win the division after y'all won last year?
Nah, I mean, I don't know. I watched a couple UFC fights this weekend. Vegas gets it wrong sometimes, too. You know, they win most of the time. They're a house, but they get it wrong a lot of times, too. So, you know, who cares? It seems like it goes through us right now. So until somebody comes and take it from us, I'm going to be confident in us.
So a little bit of aggregation done with the headlines where he said, it seems like it goes through us. And people were saying, he said the division goes through the AFC North, which just goes to show you that generally we are the worst. But it had me thinking, okay, well, what team does each NFL division actually go through? And definitively, we have to be definitive with this. Because I think the AFC East is definitely the Bills. Like, there's no arguing that it's another team.
Done.
AFC North, I think it's subjective. AFC West, also subjective. AFC South, too. In the NFC, if the NFC South, it's definitely the Bucs. In the NFC North, it's always the Packers. And I guess in the NFC West, you could argue it's the Rams, but I really think there's only three teams that divisions go through. Buffalo, Green Bay, and Tampa Bay. That's it.
I have it broken down division.
You did the whole thing. Okay.
I did. That's what I thought the assignment was. Actually ended up doing more homework than necessary, which has never happened in my life.
Classic. This is what happens when Paul just sets things up poorly and thinks that everyone else understands what's going on in his brain, which is
East
all the time.
Goes through the Bills.
Yeah.
I think the NFC East goes through the Eagles.
You think
take.
It goes through the Eagles? Okay.
I do. I'm excited to see AJ Brown and what he can do with he and Jalen Hurts can do together.
I am too. And honestly, even though my Philadelphia family are insufferable when the Eagles are good, I would much rather those people be insufferable than to see Dallas Cowboys fans reawakened and to be
so
arrogant
annoying.
Again.
Dak's going to get hurt again. AFC North goes through the Packers. Bengals. NFC North goes through the Packers. AFC South, I think since AJ Brown was traded, officially goes through the Colts.
I agree.
NFC South goes through the Bucks. Hot take, AFC West goes through the Chargers. I think Herbert sees a lot of improvement this year. NFC West goes through the Super Bowl champs, the Rams.
I do want to make it go through the 49ers. I mean, it's the first time that the Rams beat the 49ers.
They're Super Bowl champions.
I get it, and I know that they won the division, but I still think Kyle Shanahan is Sean McVay's big brother. And I brought this up before. Like, I really felt that the Rams won in a lot of ways in spite of Sean McVay. Like, the game against the Bucs, why were they handing the ball off to Cam Akers as much as they did? Like, I can't get past that. He fumbled. He clearly wasn't the same player that he used to be. And whenever they gave it to Matt Stafford, Stafford did good things. So I was going nuts during
you
that one.
You are consistent in this take. I'll give you credit.
The clock management was awful. They were out of timeouts at the end of that game against the 49ers. And I felt like, too, there were other weird decisions. Like, why do you not give Cooper Kupp the ball for a 10-minute stretch in the Super Bowl?
And
he's
just
your
say,
best player.
Go cook.
Yeah, I don't know. So that's why those are my reasons as to why I think that Sean McVay is an overrated coach. And I feel like Kyle Shanahan's still better than him. So I feel like even with uncertainty at quarterback with the 49ers, you're not sure if it's really going to be Trey Lance this year. Maybe it is Jimmy Garoppolo.
That's my question. Are you confident saying that when you don't know who the QB is going to be?
Well, I feel like the rest of the team's damn good, you know?
Right.
And assuming Debo Samuel is going to be back, which it does feel like now that situation has resolved itself. Yeah, I think it's not quite clear-cut with the Rams. I do think, though, that saying they're the favorite, given that they won the division last year and that they won the Super Bowl, I understand that argument. I like San Francisco in that matchup.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN Houston. That's Paul Gallant. I'm Vanessa Richardson. We got our producer, Sean Mapes, behind the glass. And with the NFL schedule release happening in just a few hours, let's play a little over-under.
Okay.
On which teams we think your situations will involve primetime games. Sean, we want your opinion on this as well, so be ready. Let's start with the home team, the Texans. 1.5. Do you say they get more over-under on the number of primetime games?
Sorry, I got distracted by something because we're talking about gambling. All of a sudden, something popped up. One more time. Can you ask the question again?
Texans,
and I'll present this. Okay.
1.5.
Oh, God.
I'll tell you, I'm taking the under.
I'm taking the under.
They got no love last year.
I think it's just
year.
The Thursday game. That's it.
Yeah.
I was going to ask for the definition of primetime. That's Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night. Okay. I will also go under.
In the time slot.
Yes.
Yeah.
I will also go under.
Okay. So we all agree on that. Bills, 5.5. Do we think the Bills are getting a lot of love this year? I mean, I could see it. Josh Allen, right? I mean, he's already a superstar. The AFC is what it is.
I could see them being like that, like you said, that kickoff game. Or no, wait, no, it'll probably be the Rams. Yeah, maybe they're like the Sunday night.
Right.
And then they have a couple more Sunday nights. And I could see them being like that third Thanksgiving game, too. Where it feels like it's always Saints-Falcons, but
right.
I can see them mixing it up a little bit. So I can see the over. I can see them hitting 6.
So can I share with you the thing I just saw on Twitter that popped up? Because remember how a couple of days ago we talked about how the Astros and BetMGM had secured a partnership? Okay, well, this is a little bit of a follow-up to that. Texas lawmakers are set to consider sports betting legislation in 2023 that could create a ballot measure in 2024. So we actually might have gambling in Texas.
Maybe official. 2 years.
Wow.
Got to wait a while.
I mean, because of the segment.
Sorry. I saw that and I was
Cowboys.
Like, whoa.
Cowboys 2.5.
2.5.
More or less. Over or under?
They got to be over.
Way over.
They're going to have 4.
They always get a lot of love because they're, even though they're not good, they're they're one of the strongest brands in the NFL. Yeah. No, it's not even good. It's brand. It's the Dallas Cowboys.
They're good.
And they're in a bad division.
They're good enough to be relevant right now. This isn't like the Quincy Carter teams.
I'll take the over on this because they're the Cowboys, not because I think they're good.
Yeah.
What about
I mean, I would take the high over.
I think they could have over
they could have six.
2.5 NFC East primetime.
Primetime
games.
Oh, God.
What about
the two against the Eagles and one against the Commanders?
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. Over under on the Jets, and this is specifically because they're widely regarded as having had one of the best drafts, and they're in the number one media market in the country. The Jets over or under 2.5 primetime games?
I'm going to go under because I'm giving everyone one for Thursday night.
Okay.
I can see them getting a Monday night because Monday night is the less glamorous one, but I can't see them getting two or getting a Sunday night. So
I think
the
draft changed that. The draft, everyone is kissing that team's ass.
Yeah.
And okay, maybe they're right. I am definitely not waiting with bated breath to see the Jets be actually a contender after having an exciting draft. The Jets are constantly selling themselves on hope like these crazy addicts for punishment. But I think they'll be over. I think they'll have four.
I take over not only because they had a good draft, but because they are New York. And for a long time, the NFL has not had a solid team in New York. You also
they
heard about
to be good, right? Both teams have
right,
sucked.
Joe Shane and how well he did with the Giants. So you could maybe get in even the Giants on this discussion too. But I'll take the over on Jets 2.5 as well.
I think one of the Bills games against the Jets will be prime time.
Right.
Too.
Yeah.
That's, I mean.
And normally they have a Patriots Jets Monday night or something.
Yeah, that definitely could happen too.
Packers 4.5. Over or under? Primetime game.
Over. They got Rodgers still. They'll be another bleeping game against the Bears, foisted on us, of course. They have the one against
where
the Cowboys.
Where he says, I still own you.
Yeah.
Well, the Cowboys one, isn't that a Fox?
Oh, is it a Fox game?
That might be a Fox.
Okay, that, you
America's
know what? That actually
game of
makes
the week.
Sense. Yeah, America's game of the week.
Which, if we're counting those, the Cowboys number would have been at 14.
Yeah. Every game, every week, it's America's team.
I do. 4.5 is kind of high with, you know, the Vikings are the only other, like, real team in that division. So that kind of limits it when, you know.
He's reigning MVP, though. Does
third
that
of your season. Yeah, I can see them getting there just by because they're going to play the Bucs. They're going to play the first place schedule in the NFC. So, yeah, I can see them getting over.
This one's for Pauly G. Let's do Patriots 3.5 over under on primetime games.
Ooh, that's a good one. I don't see, they were such a weird team last year. They started off poorly. They had a great stretch in the middle of the year, and they finished off poorly. You know, they did not play well down the stretch. If you're talking about Mac Jones in year two, I bet that they get some primetime games scheduled specifically early. But I think there's a lot of question about, hey, is Mac Jones actually going to take a big step? Because a lot of people right now are looking at the Patriots, and I think it's because of the way that the season ended, not as taking steps forward, as being kind of like stuck in the ground while the Bills are going forward, the Jets are catching up to them, and the Dolphins, just by adding Tyreek Hill, there's a little more excitement behind them. So you said 2.5?
3.5. I'm taking the under just because I think that even though the NFL loves Bill Belichick, it's been a couple years since Brady's
there. I think it's over. I think hatred still sells. I think teams, people still want to watch him lose.
Yeah, I'm also going over because there's a Dolphins game there that can be a Monday night. There's a Jets one that I already counted for the Jets, so I feel like to stay consistent, I have to count for the Pats. And yeah, they'll play two more games that they'll throw on Thursday night or Monday night.
Speaking of down the stretch, one player that did not do well down the stretch was Marcus Smart.
Marcus Smart, dude, what was he doing?
Yeah. We're going to talk about that next.
That's great.
The Cockies. We're going to talk about that next on Vanessa and Gallant, of course, and we'll also get you into our garbage time segment, so stay with us. You don't want to miss it.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, not a great night for the Boston Celtics. Boston was up 93-79 with 10 minutes to play. Pauly G was watching this with a lady friend, Gertrude. I'm
watching it on my phone.
And
she's just making fun of her because her name is apparently old-fashioned.
She sounds
old
very nice.
Sounding.
And I like her, by the way, because she didn't overreact.
She listens to the show regularly, and I haven't run her off yet. So,
and shout out to her for being... for no, I'm being dead serious. For being cool when you see a like that. I like her.
Yeah, I like that too. I like that too. But again, we'll see. Who knows?
Yeah, you never know.
We did talk about her on the air without her consent today.
What is life? What happened with the last couple minutes of that game, Paul?
Marcus Smart screwed up. Marcus Smart, dude, what are you doing over there?
Sean, our producer Sean has a good Boston accent.
What's your deal, dude?
With the khakis?
What's up with that? Hey, Sean. Sean, did you watch the Seas last night? What the hell was that crap?
Dude, Marcus Smart blew it.
Hey, unbelievable, dude.
I can't believe it.
Oh, jeez.
I almost spilled my Dunkin'.
My Dunkies, dude. God, I got to go to... Now I'm going to have to go to Cumberland Farms to get myself some Marlboros or something like that. Anyway, yeah, that was awful. Look, he screwed up three times in a row. The offensive rebound that the Bucks got on the missed free throw to take the lead after what should have been, you know, the Celtics with a one-point lead and just seconds to go. They screwed that up. Then on the play that was on the other side of the court, Smart goes hero ball, thinking he's as good as Jaylen Brown, thinking he's as good as Jason Tatum. He gets trapped. Drew Holiday steals the ball from him. Throws it off of his face. Bucks get the possession. The Bucks go down. They score. It's a three-point game. Then all of a sudden, Marcus Smart's dribbling up the left side of the court. He gets trapped. Drew Holiday swipes him again, and that was it. And honestly, Vanessa, it's hard off the top of your head to think of a guy messing up that many times at the end of a game.
Right.
On the same level as Marcus Smart. Because we've all seen guys have boner plays in the middle of like a big spot. Like, say, Chris Webber calling a timeout with the Fab Five in Michigan, or, you know, as you mentioned earlier, a kicker like Mike Vanderjack missing a field goal by 100 yards. But to screw up three times in the last minute of a game, I mean, that's just tough to come back from.
It's like a lack of fundamentals is what I said earlier.
Fundamentals in the middle of the season?
Right, exactly. Meanwhile, Nate Peterman has a job.
Can you believe this guy keeps on getting jobs? Nathan Peterman, look, for all of those people that are so bent out of shape about Colin Kaepernick not being back in the NFL, it's because Nathan Peterman keeps getting jobs that these people still have the will to keep fighting the good fight. Because Nathan Peterman sucks. He has never been good at any point in his NFL career. And yet, he gets continuously...
Was he fourth or fifth round is what Wikipedia says. He was fifth
third,
round.
Fourth, fifth, whatever he was. Remember, there was a time where he was in Buffalo and the Bills were like, no, we can't put Tyrod Taylor out there. We got to make sure that Nathan Peterman gets a chance. And he throws like three interceptions in 5 seconds, like doing Marcus Smart things, but instead of at the end of a game, like not even being at the end of a game. All Peterman does is throw interceptions, and yet here he is. He signed with who is he now with? He was with the Raiders most recently.
The Bears.
The Bears. Oh, poor Bears fans.
That is brutal.
That's bogus. They have to deal with like Nick Foles and Andy Dalton as alternatives to Justin Fields. So now, this year when Justin Fields gets hurt, now they're going to have to deal with Nathan Peterman. Good God. And I love how they're calling him Nate now, like he's trying to rebrand
it. Yeah, he is. It's the hashtag TB12 rebrand. All right, it is time for our garbage time segment.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
All right, golfer Lydia Ko chose to be extremely honest in a post-match interview about how she was feeling during this particular golf match.
Oh, whoa. How was she?
Do we have the audio, Sean? Sean Mapes is a...
We're efforting on it.
We are
efforting. Can we play this on the air?
I think we can.
Okay. Well, we did... I mean, we did play that...
I didn't know we had it.
We did play that UFC fighter that one time who was talking about how he had the herp, amongst other things. Just proudly saying it. So, okay, we do have it.
Here he did, and he's...
Chris Wicker to come out and give you a little physical therapy as well. Is that a concern moving forward?
I hope not. It's that time of the month. I know the ladies watching are probably like, yeah, I got you. So when that happens, my back gets really tight and I'm all twisted. And it's not the first time that Chris has seen me twisted. But it felt a lot better after he came. So, yeah, there you go.
thanks.
Oh, wow.
I know you're lost for words, Jerry.
I know you're lost for words, Jerry, is
Why?
The best part of that.
Why? Here,
and you know what?
It's normal.
It is normal, and we hear players talk about getting kicked in the groin. We hear, I mean, it's a bodily function. It is an LPGA event. It's actually a little more honest than probably I would even be. But shout out to Lydia Ko for the honesty.
I mean, it's not like she gave the graphic details of what's happening. She just said it's that time of the month.
And that is why her back was tight. And so it was also relevant.
I guess it's to me, I find it weird that people are like he was clearly grossed out by it. I mean, come on. Or maybe he was just uncomfortable that this was said on a broadcast where he's holding the microphone and he feels possibly responsible for it.
He's older. He's also an older broadcaster.
Still, though. I mean, like...
I'm with you. Get with it. I agree.
I'm actually fascinated about that dynamic in an athlete. That's something I never would have thought of, is that, like, hey, that time of the month could mess up your back or something like that. Obviously, I could, like, you know, you hear about, like...
No,
the guy hears about cramps. I've never gone through any of that, but
no, the
you
lower
hear about
back
it.
Thing is excruciating.
Ow!
And a lot of women, myself included, have a heating pad.
Okay.
Meanwhile, a guy who lost his fantasy football league was punished by having to play in a U.S. Open qualifying event. It did not go well. He shot a 112, to
is
which
that bad?
You have to think the rest of his friends were probably very happy that he was embarrassed the way they wanted him to be embarrassed.
I mean, to me. You know, I mean, that's what I would probably shoot. I'm not very good at golf. I'm trying to change that. I might be going on Sunday with
Where are you going
to
go?
Sale guys. I'm not 100% sure. I actually have to get the final details on that. But it's been a while since I've gone. 112 at the U.S. Open event. That sounds like admirable. So I'm going to give that guy some golf claps.
Golf claps, you know? All around. And you know what? That's the goal. When you lose your fantasy football, you have to do something embarrassing. And that was mission accomplished. Meanwhile, soccer star Marcelo gets dude wipes hookup offer after alleged farting scandal.
Yeah, this is the guy we talked about yesterday who got cut for farting in the locker room.
He was the final straw.
Dude wipes aren't going to make your fart smell better.
They're not, but I can see the brand. I mean, listen, I always say own your, you know what? Own it.
Own your farts?
Own your... S-H-I-T. Own your...
Oh,
own, it.
Own your poop, too. Okay.
Just own your life. The mistakes you make, the bodily functions, own it. Much like Lydia Ko. So for him, if they pay him, this dude wipes company...
I don't want to think about the kind of farts he has
now. I want a commercial, and I want him to say, hey, you heard I got cut for farting. I don't fart anymore thanks to dude wipes,
even though
that wouldn't be the case.
Wipes are life-changing. When, you know, when if you if you incorporate them into your routine, if you will, they are life changing. I go to Costco and I buy the huge, massive packs.
Wow, because you need that much.
Well,
because you don't want to buy it that often. I think.
Yeah.
Fun story.
I don't want to speak about how quickly Paul goes through them.
So fun story that my mom told me about while she was visiting this past weekend. She said that I was known throughout Hanover, Massachusetts neighborhoods and their friends' houses. As if ever I went to the bathroom and went, you know, I would apparently, because I put in too much toilet paper, I would always clog the toilets. And I would get in tons of trouble every single time that I did this.
Do you not remember this?
No, I didn't remember this at all. My mom just brought this up to me. And I was like, wait, what? I used to just destroy people's toilets when I was a little kid?
Regularly?
Apparently I did.
Apparently, that's incredible.
Apparently
it happened enough, I guess. Yeah.
Paul, little Jake is like, Mom, Paul's going to come over. Honey, I guess you better get the plunger.
They'd lock the bathrooms and they would let me in.
The troubled relationship of Prince Albert of Monaco with his wife, who's famous former Olympic swimmer Charlene Wittstock, took another weird turn. A French gossip magazine reporting that he's paying her an annual stipend of $12.5 million to continue to be his wife. Would you stand by a spouse that you no longer like for $12.5 million a year? Be tempting. Especially if you don't have to spend that much time together.
Not that one. Not this one. Is that bad? I mean, I don't know. This you're
would
paying...
you so you would not take $12.5 million to stand by your woman?
Oh, I would take it gladly.
$12 million?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like I feel like Prince Albert of Monaco, like, dude, save the $12 million. This doesn't seem worth it.
Because he's ugly?
No. I would just say, like, listen, if you're a prince of a country and you have money, would you not want to pay, like, I don't know, like a current swimsuit model or something like that? That's what I'm trying to say.
You're saying you at least not buy. You would.
I'm not saying what I would do, I guess, at all. I'm just saying.
That sounds like that's what you'd be doing.
I assumed. Listen.
So you're saying he should break it off with her?
Yes. I'm saying, yes.
He should spend that $12 million
on himself.
On a newer model.
No, I'm saying on himself. Okay?
Self-care.
He's a prince.
He is a prince.
I assumed that he was paying like some young swimsuit model or something like that. $12 million to stand by his side. I don't know. Sorry.
It's like Julia Roberts with Richard Gere in Pretty Woman. Yeah, only she's a little bit.
I'm just being honest here, folks.
I would find it, you know, stand by your man for $12.5 million a year.
$12.5 million a year. Like, too, you take 1 year, that's it. Like,
that's a really good point.
Back out of the deal.
Yeah.
It's almost an investment if you really think about it.
She should keep negotiating up.
She should. Like, absolutely.
If
he's willing to pay 12, he's willing to pay everything, I would imagine.
We'll do anything for money here on this show. All right, this has been another edition
of
Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We'll have all your NFL schedule release news throughout the evening on Twitter because we're both so into it. You got the Killer Bees up next, guys. Joel Blank, Jeremy Branham from 12 to 3. Stay with us.
Peace.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. Happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.